Welcome to Shooks and Gifts, Season 7, Episode 2, called My Workflow for Creating Lessons with AI. In this episode, I'm going to walk you through creating lessons beginning to end with a few AI tools and how I did it at the end of this last semester with a bunch of French students in my library learning commons. Let's give it a go. Welcome to Shooks and Gifts, the podcast where I share EdTech treasures I love. Each episode, I share a tool, website, tip, trick, or more that you might find helpful for you or your learners. I'm your host, Jen Giffen. Let's give it a go. So it turns out I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. So hello, everyone, and welcome to Shooks and Giff. I am your host, Jen Giffen. Today, I thought I would stay true to my promise from episode number one of this season and walk you through a workflow that I use to create a lesson with AI. Now, the first thing I want to say is I'm going to bring up an idea that came up at the Ontario Library Association's conference, which I was at last weekend, which is why I didn't record 2 weeks after my first episode. And well, you know, I'm not a regular recorder apparently now anyway, but it doesn't matter. The idea was how we think about AI and how we tend to anthropomorphize the technology, right? The idea of we give these human traits or attributions or emotions to non-human entities. And often we're starting to think about AI in this fashion, right? We are, let's say, naming our Google Homes, or we are talking to it like it's a friend, and sort of joking about it. But it really gave me pause when we had this conversation at the conference, because I do this. I absolutely think of it and I'm like, oh, okay, this, I'm going to go check with my buddy ChatGPT and what do they say? And I think we need to be really clear and have really clear intentions, particularly around our students, when we're thinking about AI and how we use it, that it is just a machine. It's no different than, you know, thanking your dishwasher for washing your dishes, let's say, because that's where we get into some scary zones. And I think it can really start messing with our brain. So I want to start this episode with that. I originally had titled this Co-Creating Lessons with AI, and again, paused because I thought, no, I'm not really, it's me doing all the creation. It's just the machine coming back to me with answers to prompts that I've given it. It's doing the thinking because of the thinking that I've done initially. So I want you all to keep that in the forefront of your mind as well as we go through this workflow I'm sharing. I did back in December that, you know, sort of getting my mojo back, or my, what do they say in the Barbie movie? What does Ken call it? His cash, the dojo. Mojo, I don't even remember what it's called. I laugh every time though. I started thinking I wanted really cool features, because a lot are asking about AI and they're coming to me as someone who has a tech background, and you know, as a librarian, I'm a curator of information and I'm a finder of resources. And I had a lot of questions around AI. So I started a series called AI for Educators. And every Monday I send a one pager to my staff about a different tool that they could use to help them as educators. Now, the intention isn't, hey, share this with kids and do it. I really want them to think about their own practice and how they can use it responsibly. Some of these tools are not okay for teachers to share with students because of the privacy concerns around them. And I've been quite explicit with that sharing of information. I will tell them, like, use this only in your personal account. This is not for professional, but it might help with workflow or timing or et cetera. So I want you to also keep that in mind as I share these tools. They might be something that are good for you as an adult and as a professional, but not something that you want to necessarily encourage your students to use until you really examine that privacy policy to make sure that they're protected. Okay, so with all of this, like, downer information, okay, I'm gonna go through what happened. So I had our French department at our school came and said, hey, we are going to allow a cheat sheet on the final exam, on the summatives, for our grade 9 and 10 French students. But a lot of them have never written exams before, and they may not know how to do this. Would you be able to do this lesson with us and with our students? And I said, yeah, absolutely. This is totally our jam. And as I started to think about it and started to think, I was like, I wonder if I could put this whole workflow into action. Now, I will tell you, the first time I did it, took me forever. It probably took me four times as long to do a lesson than it normally would, but I was really playing with a lot of toys. AI tools, not really toys. And what I did was I decided I was going to start beginning to end, and with every step of my lesson planning process, I would use an AI tool that would help me save time, act as a thought partner, create content, think about things from a different angle, maybe break outside of my normal monotony of how I plan lessons and in hopes to inspire and then engage our students. So I started with the idea of, okay, what would I include on a cheat sheet? And I would normally go through and, you know, search a whole bunch of websites and decide, okay, they come go into my own brain and make a list. But I went immediately to ChatGPT, because ChatGPT can be a really great thought part for us in education, because it will take, instead of doing all that Google searching, it will take information and curate it for me, which as a learner, I love. ChatGPT, although I am very tempted to pay for it. I haven't done it yet. And given that I was doing cheat sheets and it hasn't really, nothing's really changed since, you know, the most recent update is, I think they're saying it's January of 2022. So in the last 2 years, there hasn't been anything revolutionary about creating cheat sheets for education and for test writing. So I went there and I include in a lesson about cheat sheets that's going to be delivered to 9th and 10th grade students. It didn't matter the content to me necessarily to start with. And then it prompted and it said, okay, here. And it gave me a list, right? So it would say, okay, here's the first thing and here's some ideas. And so it was a bulleted list, had titles, and then it explained each of them. And then I actually did do a Google search and went through and went to some colleges and universities in our area that I know our students go to see if they had resources that I can include as well, because I didn't want it just to be ChatGPT randomly giving me things. I wanted to be able to cite some sources as well. I took all of those and pasted those into ChatGPT as well and said, can you amalgamate everything you said plus these resources and create a point form list? So then it created a point form list. I thought, this is fantastic. So I extracted that and I put it into a Google Doc. And then I went through it carefully rather than just trusting AI. And I thought, what matters to me, particularly because this is a French class? And at that point, I realized, I wonder if I need to focus in on this. So again, back to ChatGPT. And I said, hey, can you offer some ideas? Which one of these might be most important for French? Took that, copied it into that doc that I'd created. So far, lots of questioning of ChatGPT, searching the web for local universities and colleges, and then into a Google Doc. And then I went down and I read it. And I eliminated anything, I erased anything that I didn't feel was going to be relevant for our students. I thought, nope, this isn't important. This isn't important. This is more of a university or college, particularly because those were the resources that I sought out when I did my Google search. And from there, I decided that I was going to group my point forms into sort of common topics, so to create some subtopics. Now, I realized in hindsight, once I was done, because again, I'm not totally in practice of using AI to this extent, I could have easily just thrown it back into AI and said, hey, can you group these for me? But I did it, which I do believe that we still need to use our brains, because I find the more I use AI, the less creative I'm being, and I don't think as quickly, right? It's sort of like exercising a muscle. We want to make sure that our creative and our academic parts of our brains are still being utilized. Obviously, this is one big fear that I know I have with using AI on the regular, and particularly students who may not have the critical thinking skills and the academic thinking skills that I've developed over my, you know, 20 plus year career. And then, you know, how many 18 years of education before that between getting my, you know, my high school and my university and postgrad degrees. So then, okay, where was I? So I put it in. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I need to turn this into a slide deck. Now you're going to notice, for those of you who are real Puritans when it comes to lesson planning, I haven't actually created a lesson plan yet. I'm going to my slide deck, which I recognize maybe not the best practice. And I'm going to talk about the lesson plan itself when I circle back at the end. But I tend to get all my information and then I build a slide deck. That's how my brain works. I need the lesson plan first, because that's not it. I know my intentions to begin with, but I don't need to write that formal lesson plan. I like to see it visually in a deck, and then I go back, I write my lesson plan, and then I see what's missing, and I find it sort of to be a symbiotic relationship. So I go and I'm like, I need to put this now all into a slide deck, which is great, but that process of taking information from a document, point form notes or otherwise, like maybe big paragraphs, and putting it into a doc is probably what really fueled my desire to find this workflow that I'm sharing with you. Because that is a huge time spender, that's not a waster because I don't think building slide decks is a waste of time. But when I want to build those decks, often I'm like, oh, it's just so much time. Like this is a good half hour, sometimes an hour of cutting and pasting and make sure things are there and inserting images and putting the right layouts. And I don't necessarily want to just use a template that I've seen again and again that's built into Google Slides or if you're using PowerPoint or whatnot. And so I thought, I wonder if I could find a tool that will automatically, using AI, take this document and turn it into a slide deck. And there's got to be this. So I went down the rabbit hole and I started exploring. And I went through about four or five. And the one that I liked the best was called Plus AI. It was free. And now I come back in 2 months, not even later, and it's free for 7 days and then you have to purchase. So I will give that caveat. I will also say that I have reached out to Plus Docs, which is the parent company of Plus AI. And I've asked, you know, hey, I'm a teacher. I use this. This is what I did. I'm sharing it on this podcast. Any chance that you have some education pricing? Because we, unlike big business, don't turn a profit. And often this sort of cost comes from our own pocket if it's not endorsed by or supported by or in the budget for our own school district. So stay tuned. I'll let you know if they say anything. So in Plus AI, their tagline is supercharge your slides with Plus AI. Generate AI presentations and edit slides with AI. Try the best AI presentation maker for Google Slides free. And that was the thing that got me, is it's totally integrated into Google Slides. It's an extension. So what you do is you download the extension and then you can, I'm going to tell you what I did because I did it from text. There's a few different ways. You can just, you know, give a one line and then it will generate the content for you, sort of does the app smashing between the what ChatGPT did for me. But I wanted to dive deeper in ChatGPT. So I'm going to share the feature about creating from text. So what I did was I had that Google document that I created with all my information about how to create the cheat sheet. And it's now point form notes and it has headings according to, you know, okay, these are things you want to do to prepare the sheet. And these are things to include on the sheet. And these are some tips once it's created, how to make sure you have everything and et cetera, et cetera. Actually in the show notes at shooksandgif.com, I've shared the slide deck with you so you can see what it looks like. So you go to extensions and I'm in my Google Doc now, or sorry, Google Slides. It's a blank slide deck. I go to extensions and I choose Plus AI and then I go to new presentation. And I'm going to choose the option text to presentation and I hit generate. It lets me pick a theme and then it builds it for me. Now in that, what I've done is as soon as I've opened text to presentation, I actually cut and paste all that information from the Google Doc into the, there's a text box in Plus AI and that's when I hit generate, picks a theme. And then it builds it out. And I can not only pick the theme, but I can actually customize the themes. So I can generate a color scheme and font sizes. And if you do that sort of at the end, if you sort of build the whole thing and then realize, I don't love this color, you can do it afterwards and it goes back and it applies everything. Much like the slide deck, when you're creating a slide deck, that's a good little like book for you. If you go into, I think it's view. Yeah. If you go into view theme builder, you're able to do that as well. That's how Paula at Slides Mania, who's like just my absolute favorite slide designer. That's how she creates them. She just goes into theme builder. You can change everything from, you know, the fonts that you use to the background colors, to even like what color the links will be in the presentation. And that's not an AI tool. Well, I guess it sort of is an AI tool. Well, it's not really AI, is it? But it's just in the basic Google slides that you don't need any AI add-on for that. That's again under view and theme builder. And so anyway, you can, in Plus AI, you can have the custom themes created either before you start or after. Okay, so I've put in my information, I picked my theme, and then all of a sudden it builds it. And it, sure enough, a couple minutes later, created a full slide deck that was like this, like yellow and black and white. All my information was there. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't near perfect, but it was really cool. And I thought, oh, this is really neat. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to change the slides. So as we do it in Google Slides, if I right click on a slide, I can choose on the film reel on the left hand side, I can choose apply layout. But this build, you can use the remix tool in Plus AI to create another layout. The same way that we do that on the film reel, which I think is pretty cool. If you realize something is missing, you can insert a single slide. And again, created with AI, the same way you can say, hey, add this context in here. I want this format. I want it to be this layout. And boom, it just creates the extra slide for you. So you don't need to, you know, add a slide and then create it from scratch. You can have AI do that. I didn't do that because I found it created all the slides I needed. In fact, it almost created too many. And I took some out. I wanted to rewrite some, which they also have a feature to do. You can say, okay, rewrite this as a bullet point, or edit this to so that the tone is short, or so the tone is academic, or rewrite this so it's shorter, or even they have a feature in it. I didn't try it, but translate this into another language. I don't know how reliable that is, which I thought was really, really cool. So now I have my slide deck built for me, which was pretty cool, but I didn't love the images. So I went to Microsoft's Image Creator. And if you haven't played with Image Creator, you may have seen a lot of people doing those like Funko Pop, like art of themselves on social media. Recently I saw other ones like Barbie yourself or Cabbage Patch Kid yourself. If you haven't played with this tool, this Microsoft Image, it was Microsoft Designer and it's their Image Creator. I highly suggest you pause this episode right now and go and play and make sure you have some time because it is hours and hours of fueled by Dolly and it's all word based. So you have to describe the image you want to create. You just go in, it's at designer.microsoft.com/image-creator. I'll have it in the show notes and it will show you a whole bunch of created images already. And if you hover over the image, it will say like, here's one here of, it's like a cat. It's all these like blues and reds. Oh, it's looking over a city. And it says it's an image of a cat looking over a city in the style of cyberpunk futurism, bright red background, light cyan, edgy street art, bold cover portraits, use of screen tones, dark proportions, modular. And it has a cat looking over a city in square brackets. So I can even, instead of just describing my own image, I can just click that one and it will actually import that as almost like Mad Libs. And I just have to fill in the blanks wherever those square brackets are. So I could say like an image of, I could say a fuzzy dog in the style of, I'm going to say overlooking a barn. So I actually played with this and this is what I'm saying you might want to do. I came up with a prompt just about me. I said to be a woman in her 40s with long red hair, brown eyes, brown rimmed glasses, wearing a black hoodie that says virtual GIF on the front, holding an iPhone in the style of blank. And I did like in the style of Archie comic books, in the style of a Kardashian, in the style of pointillism. I am not an art buff. I took no art history. If you have any art history background, even a single course, I'm sure you could go way deeper and create some really, really fun and cool stuff. But it will create, sure enough. Now here's this like fuzzy dog in a barn. It's adorable. So you can use the templates that they have there or create your own. And why am I sharing? Because I want to like a full cheat. And if I don't have an example of that to draw my own like picture library, then I'm going to have to search the web. And sometimes that takes me forever. So I thought, I wonder how good this will be if I use this image creator. And so I did. And I looked for certain things as I could. You know, I want a very colorful cheat sheet with that's well organized with like blocks and squares, create a blank sheet that has a line at the top. Like I had a whole bunch, including I have a point in the lesson where they do this activity that they have to do the do's and don'ts of cheat sheets. And they're sitting in my library as they do this. And it's little sheets of paper that I've cut up and put into an envelope. So I asked this image creator to create an image of students from a variety of racial black backgrounds, including, and I put the ones that are specifically like seen in my school. So Persian, Asian, black. I said, you know, these are the backgrounds that I want. Students, high school students in a library doing an activity, sitting at a table with sheets, like strips of paper that came out of an envelope. And it fully created this image for me. Now, if you look closely at the image, you'll notice that one of the people, their hand is backwards because DALL-E and image creating with AI is not to the level it is with text yet, but it's there. And I was like, this is crazy. And I love this because now I can find images albeit images that are a little bit warped. One of them also had a spelling error. It said chet sheet instead of cheat sheet. The kids were like, oh, what is this? But I liked that they saw that, because I did pause halfway through the lesson and tell them that I'd created the entire lesson on AI, and their eyes just bugged right out, right? They're like, oh my gosh, like, you can't do that. AI is cheating. Because right now, I think that's the rhetoric around AI and education, is we're saying, oh, don't use it, it's cheating, it's this. And I really wanted to show them, much like I'm walking you through now, how I used it in a responsible way, that I started it with a thought partner, or as a thought partner, although again, we don't want to turn it into a human being. And then I used it to save time, and then I wanted it to be representative, and how I was reflective in all I used it. And I really made sure I emphasize that to my students, that you can use this in responsible ways. And we do use it in responsible ways. How often do I use the predictive text on my cell phone, right? So I went through that. So I've created the images now. Sorry, I'm a little bit all over. It's a lot easier when you get that podcast. I go through that, I create my images. And I talked, then I put it together and I thought, wow, this is really great. Showed it to a colleague, made a few little minor changes, you know, without AI, and then talked to the students about the lesson plan. And that was it. It created, that took me, like I said, quite a long time. But if I were to replicate it now that I know how to use Plus AI, now that I really understand Image Creator and creating the prompts in there, because again, I would highly encourage you to play with it a little bit before you try to do something that you really need, because you'll see the nuances. The only other thing that I would probably add to the whole experience would be using a tool like magicschool.ai to create the lesson plan if you wanted to, beginning to end. Now, you might have really specific ways you need a lesson plan laid out, but I'm sure you can say that in Magic AI, or Magic School AI rather. But you could go beginning to end. And I really liked this because I felt like I got a really personal content for my students, because I was able to not just do a general Google search where I'm like, yeah, this is kind of what I want and take it, or, you know, go into my, it all really came from my brain and continuous prompts to find what I wanted. And I didn't have to take the time to go through site after site and get to the like 14th page of Google to find something, or even, and not that I only go to Google, obviously, but even just to think about things, the time that it saved me to sit and write it all down, was really helpful. And it was a really interesting exercise for me to see how much I could now spend time on creating the resources, be it the manipulatives. Our big focus right now, a lot more hands-on activities with our students. And when you spend all these hours building slide decks and, you know, searching for the right handouts or whatnot, or creating those, when we have AI as our partner to do that with us, or we're able to leverage AI to do that, again, that partner, see, I keep going back to that. It's giving me a lot of pause. When I keep going back to think about the time that I spent there, now I can put my efforts and my energies into other things, be it giving feedback, the one-on-one time with the students. Like, there's so much more I think that we can do when we leverage AI to save us that time. So I hope you see the benefit in this, right? Again, just to go through quickly, I started in ChatGPT, going back and forth, trying to use some prompts to get the information that I wanted so it would curate the web resources from the web. I also found some resources from the web from some local post-secondary institutions. I then created a bulleted list of what I wanted in a slide deck and plopped that to Plus AI, the Google Slides add-on, and then used Microsoft Designer, the image creator, to create the images that would then go into the slide deck itself. As a bonus, I could have, or as a sort of upgrade, I could have created the lesson plan in Magic School AI, but I have a certain way I like to lay them out. So it was actually pretty easy to do afterwards. And that is how I create lessons with AI. I hope you have an idea of how to do it. If you haven't used any AI at all, I want to say I'm surprised when I hear teachers haven't, but I'm continuously amazed at how many teachers are like, oh, I haven't even really looked at ChatGPT. It's something worth looking at, if for nothing else, to know what the students are looking at, because we know they're on that. It's sort of like social media. I had a friend, I think I've told the story before, say, what do you mean you're not on TikTok? All your students are on TikTok. Don't you know, want to know what's going on in their brain, how you can reach them in ways that is resonating with them? And she's not saying teach on TikTok, but just to understand, make those cultural references, for example, to build those relationships, I think we know is really important. So maybe think about this workflow. Think about, you know, if you haven't used ChatGPT, have a look. If you are looking to create some slide decks plus AI, that 7-day free trial might be worth it. I'm fingers crossed, they'll get back to me about an educator discount and I'll let you know. And definitely play with that Microsoft Image Creator. It's a lot of fun, even just to create some avatars or some cool things for you to include in presentations or as a profile picture where you may not want your actual likeness. Try the minion one. Say, describe yourself and then as a minion. It's hilarious. I love it. My avatars that I created, I think there's like a dozen of them, maybe more, I did include in the show notes at shooksandgift.com under season 7, episode 2. So you can have a look at those. So there you are, my friends. That is my workflow for creating lessons with AI. I found it to be a really neat way to break out of the way that I generally think about creating lessons. And it saved me a whole lot of time in the end once I got the workflow going. So if any of this has given you an aha moment, you know what to do, my friends. You give it a go. See you next time. That's it for this episode of Shooks and GIF. The show notes for this episode and all episodes can be found at www.shooksandgif.com. That's S-H-U-K-E-S-A-N-D-G-I-F-F. And I'd love to hear about your ahas. Please reach out, DM me on social media. I can be found at virtualgif. That's with 2 Fs. So until next time, if you have an aha, give it a go.